It's verse 26 that I want us to look at tonight as the basis of our study. The Lord Jesus says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" And in particular, it is the first part of the verse. Behold the fowls of the air. Behold the fowls of the air. This is the part that I want us to concentrate on. It's not my aim to look at the specific setting of this verse or the specific teaching of this verse or the context of it in the Sermon on the Mount, but rather to take this exhortation, this general exhortation. The Lord says, "Behold the fowls of the air." The word "behold" means to look at, consider, pay attention to. Behold the fowls, or the birds of the air. What an interesting statement the Lord makes here. This general exhortation to consider the birds of the air. And I think what we've got to keep in mind is that it is the exhortation of the one who made the birds. This is the Creator. All things were made by Him. All these birds that He's referring to, He made them. He designed them. He created them. He gave them their existence. And now He's saying to us, He's saying to His disciples, to His people, He's saying, look at the birds of the air. Look at the fowl of the air. Behold them, consider them, meditate upon them. The Lord, I believe, is highlighting to us the fact that in creation He has illustrated truth. He has illustrated moral and spiritual truth. And we find that in every aspect of creation. We find it in the animals. And now we find it here emphasized in the birds. I think perhaps one of the reasons why the Lord made the birds and made such a variety of the birds is that He was seeking to teach us, seeking to illustrate to us moral and spiritual truth. For here the Lord says, "Behold the fowls of the air." Look at them, observe them, study them, consider them. And as you go through the scripture, you'll find that the Lord has drawn attention to many different kinds of birds. It's a very interesting study, and I want us just to follow that line of thought and that line of exhortation perhaps for a few weeks. The Lord singling out different kinds of birds. And you think of all the variety that there is within the bird species. And why has the Lord made such a variety? Well, I think one of the reasons is He's illustrating truth. He's illustrating moral and spiritual truth to us. And that's why He says, "Behold the fowls of the air." If you turn to Job chapter 39, it's really this chapter that has prompted this line of study. As I said on Sunday evening, we looked at the Lord's response to Job on Sunday morning. And the Lord directed him to His creation. Didn't mention His suffering, didn't seek to explain the providential works of God in his life, but rather the Lord directed him to creation. And here in chapter 39, we find the Lord lifting up Job's eyes and directing them to different animals. And when you come to verse 27, the very last that He refers to is the eagle. Verse 27, the Lord says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command, and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." Notice here how the Lord, directing Job to the eagle, identifies various characteristics concerning the eagle. And remember that there's no one more familiar and more acquainted and more knowledgeable about the birds in general and eagles in particular than the Lord. He made the eagle. And here he singles out the eagle and he draws the attention of Job to certain aspects, certain attributes, characteristics of the eagle. I believe the Lord here is showing us why he has created the birds. One of the reasons why he has created them is to illustrate various truths, to illustrate truth to us, that they may be a kind of picture book to us, that we might learn from them, that we might learn things about the Lord. And here the Lord singles out the eagle. Isn't it interesting, some of the characteristics that he mentions? He speaks here of the security of the eagle. The eagle makes her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. The eagle here is seen in her intelligence and her wisdom, because she's seeking to build her nest in a place that is secure, in a place that is really at a distance from the predator, from the one who would seek to destroy. You can see here how there is a degree of intelligence and wisdom in the eagle building her nest on high upon the rock. And is it not a wonderful illustration of the wisdom that the people of God have? Because they too are located in a secure place. They're located on the rock. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock. And of course the spiritual application, the spiritual instruction is for us, is that we are built on Christ. Christ is our rock. Christ is the ground of our security. Only in him will we find safety from the curse of the law and from the corruption of the world and from the desire of Satan. It's only in Christ. As we dwell in him, as we abide in him, the rock, do we find that security and that protection. There is an element here seen in the security of the eagle. But not only does the Lord draw attention to the security of the eagle, but also to its sight. You can see that in verse 29. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her eyes behold afar off. I believe the Lord was telling Job something here that was not just as well known at that particular time. The fact of the amazing eyesight of the eagle, and it has been well documented in subsequent ages, just how great the eyesight of the eagle is. The eagle has a dual focus in its eyesight. It has two centers of focus in one eye, and each eye has two centers of focus. It's able to look forward, and it's able to look to the side at the same time. It is that range of vision in each eye. Added to that's a very sharp vision, they tell us, four times, at least four times sharper than the vision of a human being, the perfect vision of a human being. It can see afar off, from a great distance. It's reckoned that the eagle can see a moving rabbit at least a mile away. And it is such a great vision, such a powerful vision. It's got two eyelids, an outer and an inner eyelid. When it sleeps, it closes its outer eyelid. But through the daytime, the inner eyelid is continually closing, opening and closing every few seconds. It's translucent. It means it can still see whenever that eyelid is blinking, whenever it's closing. But the purpose of it is to clean the eye. And it enables the eagle to soar into very great heights, near to the sun, approaching the sun. That film protects the eagle's eye from the brightness of the sun. Here the Lord draws attention to the eyesight of the eagle. It has this great vision. It's able to see into the distance. It's able to see beyond what other birds can see. That's one of the things that gives it an advantage. It can see the predator coming from afar off, and it can make its flight to safety. It can see its prey from a great distance. It has this remarkable eyesight. And is it not a picture of the believer? Is not the believer characterized by his eyesight, not his physical eyesight, but his spiritual eyesight, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? We live not by physical eyesight, but by spiritual eyesight, by faith. And we can see things afar off. We see things that men, the men of this world, cannot see. Remember, it says of Moses that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The Christian can see what the men of the world cannot see. The eagle has this tremendous eyesight. And I believe the Lord is emphasizing here one of those great attributes that belong to his people. But notice here, and this is the point that I want us to focus on, not only the security and the sight, but the swiftness of the eagle. Verse 27. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command? The thought here is of her flight, mounting up and flying. The eagle is renowned for the swiftness of its flight. It has an impressive wingspan of 2 meters. At 6 feet. And it can fly at tremendous speeds on a level plane. They say it can fly about 44 miles an hour. But when it's swooping down to catch its prey, it can fly at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. Such is the swiftness of this creature, of this bird. And you'll find as you go through the scriptures that the Lord makes reference to the swiftness of the eagle's flight and reference to its wings on a number of occasions, and applies that or uses that swiftness to illustrate various things. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first illustration of this you will find in reference to the nation of Israel. The Lord in this chapter is giving both blessings that would follow obedience and judgments that would follow disobedience. As the Israelites go into the promised land, the Lord is saying to them that if they will love the Lord and follow him and obey him, then the blessing of the Lord will be upon them. But if they turn from him, if they will not hearken to his commandments, then the judgment of the Lord will follow. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 49, the Lord says, if they disobey, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. The Lord is saying now that if they do not obey him, if they do not follow his commandments, then he will bring a nation from afar. He will cause a nation to invade. And that nation will be characterized by the swiftness of an eagle's flight. It will move at tremendous pace. It will overtake the land with such rapidness, just as an eagle flies, as it swoops down upon its prey so quickly. So this nation will come, the Lord is saying, quickly. He will cause this to happen quickly. And of course, this prophecy came to pass in the days of the Babylonian invasion, and also in the days of the Roman invasion in AD 70. And it's interesting to note that the symbol of the Roman Empire was the eagle. The Lord said that he would bring a nation as swift as the eagle flieth, swooping down upon its prey. so swift with the judgment of God, follow the disobedience of his people. But then if you turn to Proverbs chapter 23, the swiftness of the eagle's flight is used to illustrate another truth. And this time it is the truth of the uncertainty of riches. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4, Solomon says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Here the thought is of the swiftness of the eagle mounting up and flying away so swiftly. And Solomon is saying here that that's the same with riches. Riches can be accumulated, they can be gathered up, and yet very swiftly and very suddenly and speedily they can vanish away. You see, what he is saying here is that this is not to be the center of our life. This is not to be the goal of our life, the gathering of riches, because riches are uncertain. If you turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, in that chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and the verse number 9, he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now what he's referring to here is the will, they that will be rich. In other words, they've set their heart on this. This is their goal. This is their ambition. And he says here that they that will be rich, they fall into this snare. They fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. Then in verse 17 he says, charge them that are rich in this world. You see the difference now? He's talking about, in verse 9, people who will be rich. They've set their heart on this, to gain riches. He's not saying that money or riches are wrong. It's the heart that's wrong. Heart attitude is wrong. The heart is fixed on the wrong priorities. And in verse 17, he highlights the fact that there are believers in this world who the Lord does give riches to. And he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. A man can be rich one day, and the next day he can lose all his wealth. His investments may go terribly wrong. Circumstances in the world, the credit crunch may come in, and those riches are gone. The things that he had held as valuable may have lost their value. I was listening to a man last night in the news who was saying that he had bought property for his retirement, an investment for his retirement. But now, he said, it's just a millstone round my neck. It's lying empty. He can't let it. He can't rent it out. And he's been charged tremendous taxes for it. And what he's contemplating doing is knocking it down so that he doesn't have to pay the taxes. This is what's happening in different parts of the country. Uncertain riches, the Bible says. We're not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Paul is simply saying what Solomon said all those years beforehand. He says, these riches, they make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven, so swift, just as swiftly as an eagle flies. So these riches, uncertain riches, fly away. We're not to trust in them. We're not to base our life on things and possessions and wealth, but rather we're to live trusting in the Lord, looking to Him, and relying upon the promise of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. If you turn to Job chapter 9, you will find a third illustration where the tremendous flight and speed, the swiftness of the eagle's flight, is used as an illustration. Job chapter 9 and verse 26. Job says, verse 25, he says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. There's that thought of the tremendous speed of the eagle swooping down upon its prey. It's set upon reaching the prey, and that prey no sooner realizes but the eagle has got its claws upon it. Job is likening the swiftness of the eagle to the swiftness of his days. My days, the days of my life, are just like this. So swiftly they pass. So quickly life passes. And before you know it, you're in eternity. The swiftness of our days. The swiftness of God's judgment coming. The swiftness of uncertain riches fleeing away. The swiftness of our days. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, the eagle's swiftness here is used in reference to the effect of prayer. And here, the Lord is saying that even the youths and the young men shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, in verse 30. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The mounting up of the eagle, ascending into the heights above. The Lord is saying here, look at the eagle. Behold the fowls of the air. Look at the eagle as it mounts up and as it stretches out that impressive wingspan. And it soars into the heavens so quickly. What is the Lord saying? He's saying, this is the effect of prayer. We may be faint, we may be weary, we may be hard pressed in our soul and in our mind, but if we wait upon the Lord, if we wait upon the Lord and if we seek Him, here is the effect. The Lord says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. There's a transformation here. In such a way as the eagle rises heavenward, so the Lord will strengthen our soul that it shall ascend into the heavenlies, that it will dwell on high. The Lord will reverse, the Lord will strengthen that which is about to perish, that which has become faint and weary, when we wait on the Lord. This is the promise of God. We will mount up with that strength and with that swiftness. The Lord will intervene. The Lord will give that answer that's needed, that strength that's needed. Just as the eagle mounts with wings, with its wings. But turn to Exodus chapter 19, and this is where I'm really coming to tonight. Just using these other illustrations as examples. Because I want to highlight tonight how the Lord points us to His creation, and in particular to the birds. in order to teach us things about Himself. And this is what the Lord did to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19. Verse 3, Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. You see, the Lord takes this whole episode, this whole event in the life of the children of Israel, when He brought them out of Egyptian bondage, when He delivered them from the power of Egypt, from that bondage and slavery and oppression. And He likens that whole episode to the eagle, the mother eagle, bearing her eaglets on her wing, on her wings. You've seen this. How I bear you on eagle's wings. The Lord is taking the characteristics of the eagle and He's using that to illustrate His work, His care, His providence toward His people. You'll find a fuller description of this in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10 and 11, just to get the connection. Lord is speaking about Israel, about Jacob, and He says, in verse 10, He found him in a desert land. And in the waste howling wilderness He led him about, He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. As the eagle has done, so the Lord has done for His people. You see, the description here is given in greater detail. The eagle scareth up her nest. There's the little eaglets, and they're in the nest. The mother eagle and the father eagle go to great trouble to make their nest on high. It's quite an impressive sight. They gather all the twigs, all that's needed to make that nest, that secure place. And then the little eaglets are born, they're hatched, and they remain in the nest for some while, the parents bringing the food for them. But then there comes a time whenever the eagle has to stir up the nest. And the idea is to get the eaglet out of the nest, to get the eaglet flying, maturing, growing, developing for itself, for its own good. And sometimes the little eaglet can get too comfortable in the nest. Everything is there. There's comfort. There's safety, security. Food brought every day. And it can get very comfortable. But the eagle has to stir up the nest. And sometimes it will either put thorns into the nest. It's been known for eagles to do that. They put thorns in so that the nest becomes uncomfortable. Or else they pull away twigs until the eaglets are almost forced out of the nest. The nest has to be stirred up. It has to be broken. And you know, perhaps what is meant here is the fact that Israel had become quite contented in Egypt, quite comfortable in Egypt, and the Lord had to allow oppression to come, had to allow another Pharaoh to rise up who didn't know Joseph and began to oppress the Israelites. It was only then that they were getting out of the nest. The Lord is saying, I had to do this to you. I had to stir up the nest just as the mother eagle stirs up the nest. And the whole purpose is that the eagle might mature, that it might grow and develop. The Lord is saying, this is what I do with my people, just as the eagle does this. This is what I do. I have to break up the nest. Those comforts that I have given sometimes, they become a hindrance rather than a help. And the Lord has to take them away. And then he says that the eagle fluttereth over her young. And the idea there is that she's wanting her young to learn to fly. If they do not learn to fly, they will not be able to feed themselves and they will die. They've got to learn to fly for themselves. And so she got to stir up this nest, and then she flutters over them. What's she doing? She's setting the example. She's showing them what to do. And the Lord gives us the example. Peter says that Christ has left an example for us. The Lord shows us the example. The Lord shows us how to fly, how we should live for Him. But you see, even that's not enough. Because then the eagle has to spread abroad her wings, and she takes them and beareth them on her wings. So there she is, she pulls away the nest, she breaks it up, and then she flutters her wings, and she's saying to the eaglets, this is what you're to do, this is how you're to conduct yourself. And then she spreads her wings, and she takes her eaglets, and she soars up into the sky. She soars heavenward. But then she does something. Once she has got a little distance, she turns over, and she throws the eaglet off, and the little eaglet begins to fall. And it's only then that the eaglet stretches out its little wings and tries to fly. But it, of course, is not able to fly at the beginning. And so the mother eaglet swoops down with her great swiftness. And the little eaglet is falling, and she comes underneath, and she catches the eaglet on her wings again. And she'll take the eaglet for a little while and let it recover and let it get its breath back. And then she'll repeat the process, and she'll just keep on doing that until that little eaglet learns to fly for itself. And the Lord is saying, this is what I do with my people. The Lord, this is a wonderful picture of conversion, isn't it? The Lord comes along and he stirs up the nest. We get so contented. We fail to realize the danger that we're in. If we continue in that condition, we will perish. And the Lord comes along with the thorns of conviction. And sometimes he has to take away those things that we have become accustomed to. He does that in order to bring us to himself. I bear you on eagle's wings to bring you to myself, he says. And he shows us. And then as we come to the Lord in salvation, the Lord for a while bears us on eagle's wings, and then suddenly it seems as if we're thrown off and we're falling. And very often, is it not the thought that runs through our mind, why is this happening? Why does the Lord allow adversities and troubles, things that we don't want? What is he doing? He's teaching us to fly. That's what he's doing. We've got wings. The Lord has given us wings. And we've got to learn to use those wings. We've got to learn to fly. We've got to learn to fly. To live by faith. And that's why the Lord allows these experiences in his providence and in his will. Very often when a person is converted to the Lord has that person in the nest for a while, and then the troubles come. in the adversities. But in it all, the Lord is simply teaching His people to fly. Teaching His people just as the mother eaglet, our eagle, teaches her eaglets to fly for themselves, that they may mature and develop and grow, and that they may become strong. And so the Lord allows these troubles in His providence. He allows the adversities not to be a hindrance to us, but actually to help us. We do not see it at the time, but through that process, He is leading us to Himself. And He's causing us to grow in grace and to become strong in the Lord. The Lord here likens the eagle's activity, the eagle's characteristic, to His own work toward His people, His own action toward His people. And the Lord says, "Behold the fowls of the air." Because there are characteristics there that illustrate moral and spiritual truth. Things that illustrate the ways of God with His people. Things that teach us concerning the Lord. And the Lord says, "Ye have seen how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you to Myself." The Lord is bringing us to Himself. That's the great purpose. The great purpose in redemption. To bring us to Himself. And everything that the Lord does in our life, everything that the Lord permits in our life, has this purpose of bringing us to Himself. Bringing us to Himself. Teaching us to fly toward Him. Teaching us to walk and to live by faith in Him alone. May we learn from the feathered friends. And as we'll come to see, there are other birds that the Lord highlights in the Scriptures. And He singles them out for our attention. He says, "Behold, look at these. Look at this. Look at these birds, because I have created them. And I have created them to teach, to illustrate, to instruct." And if we open our eyes and behold, as the Lord says, in the way that the Lord says, then I believe we will see those things that the Lord intends us to see.